Hi, this is Bob Enyart, Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, welcoming you to our Denver Bible Church update. Now, normally we do in this segment an excerpt from a sermon, a little Bible study, invite you to come on out and attend Denver Bible Church. But tonight, in 4 minutes, we're scheduled to have Alan Combs on of the Fox News Channel on to interview him about his new book called Red, White, and Liberal. And so I thought I would take just these couple minutes to sort of strategize with you guys, and let's try to figure out what we should talk about with Alan. Alan obviously is going to try to give a robust defense for his worldview, and he has a chapter in his book called Jesus Was a Liberal. So really what I hope is that we can get to that topic. And when I start off asking him if he is trying to defend liberalism, which is a tall order, he might object to that and say, oh, you guys, when you talk about liberalism, you think of all extremes. Really, it's just secularism. And if he says that, then I think I got him right off the bat, because I'm going to ask him about his title, that Jesus was a secularist, the title in one of the chapters of his book. He has a chapter titled Jesus Was a Liberal. And if he says that liberalism is really secularism, how could he argue that? That Jesus advocated secularism? Isn't that silly? So then I'd like to give comparisons, and let's see what Alan thinks, whether he agrees. Like, liberals say people are basically good. Jesus said people are basically sinners. Liberals say all truth is relative and right and wrong is subjective. And Jesus claims that there is absolute truth and right and wrong. Liberals proclaim the rights of consenting adults, for example. Jesus condemned adultery. Liberals talk about rights. Jesus called it sin and evil. Liberals love democracy and the majority rules, and Jesus called the multitudes hypocrites. And he said that the majority was going to hell and that they're evil. Just in passing, he says, you, being evil, give good gifts to your kids. How much more would God give good gifts to those who trust him? So, and that's some of what I hope to get to. Like, liberals love high taxes. Jesus insulted tax collectors. He compared IRS agents, well, they didn't have those back then, but tax collectors, to heathens and even to harlots in Matthew. So that's where I hope we can begin. We'll find out how it goes with Alan, and even if, in fact, we'll have him on the show. Because sometimes, even when an interview is scheduled, sometimes it's hard to get someone well-known actually on the line. And he should be on the line in a couple minutes. But let's see here. Oh, and also, you know, I'd love to remind him about Al Gore's announcement speech for the presidential race, when Al Gore got it backwards, saying that his favorite verse, he didn't say his favorite verse was John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He actually said his favorite verse was John 16:3, getting it absolutely backwards. And John 16:3, Jesus said that these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. I think it's sort of funny that Al Gore said that was his favorite verse. That they do these things to you. Why do liberals do these things? Because they don't know God. That's why. And so hopefully we'll have a basic discussion of what is the difference between the right and the left, between conservatives and liberals. What's the difference? And, you know, Jesus, he was sort of harsh. He said he was the light of the world, and that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. That's what Jesus said. So at any rate, that's some of the material I'm hoping to bring up with Alan Combs, if in fact we could get him on the air. That might be him calling right now. So this Sunday, come to Denver Bible Church. And now stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number here is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. And this Time Magazine interview with Jimmy Carter, Carter said, Bush may lose if things go poorly in Iraq and with the economy. And it makes you wonder, those who are trying to put Bush out of office, what are they really hoping in their hearts about how things go in Iraq and how things go with the economy? All right. Now, do we have a guest online? We do. All right. Here at KLTT, 50,000 watt AM radio in Denver, Colorado. I've got a quote here that's 3,000 years old by Solomon, King Solomon, who wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, a wise man's heart is at his right hand. A wise man's heart is at his right, and a fool's heart is at his left. Well, a popular Fox News talk show host, the liberal Alan Combs, is talking to Solomon, is taking Solomon to task by writing a book titled Red, White, and Liberal, How Left is Right and Right is Wrong. And so between now and Christmas, anyone calling in to quote and discuss Alan's book will put right through on the air here at Bob Enyart Live. I think the goal of the book is to give a broad defense of liberalism. Welcome, Alan Combs. Is that right, Alan?
Hello, Mr. Enyart. How do you do?
Doing well, sir. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Alan, you're with your book, Red, White, and Liberal, How Left is Right and Right is Wrong. You're trying to defend liberalism generally? Seems like a tall order.
That's why I call the book. I happen to be a liberal, and that's why I call the book Red, White, and Liberal, yes.
All right. And so
I don't mean to be sarcastic. I mean, clearly, I am advocating the liberal position.
Right. That's true. And, you know, some even your own descriptions of your book talk about liberal becoming a four-letter word. Conservatives are typically proud of being called conservatives, and liberals tend to shun it.
Well, I actually blame conservatives for trying to diminish liberalism by, you know, calling it libs or the L word. But I also blame liberals for not standing up and proclaiming what they are and embracing what liberalism is. It's a wonderful thing. And I think liberals have not done as good a job as conservatives have done at imaging themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, in positioning liberals, you know, people who have a position to maintain, they often like to get other people on their side. And one popular supporter is 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. And so you have a chapter titled Jesus Was a Liberal.
Yes.
And I'd like to ask you, Alan, could you tell me if you think I'd like to give you something I view as a fundamental liberal view as compared to Jesus, and you tell me if you think it's right or wrong. Where liberals say people are basically good, and Jesus said people are sinners, that they're evil. Do you think I've misconstrued that?
It's not my view, and I'm not an authority on Jesus. I'm not a Christian, but I think there is a fundamentalist view that believes people are fundamental, that people are basically sinners. That's not my view, and I don't know that it was Jesus' view.
Well,
I think that often the fundamental view is not always what Jesus would have suggested.
Well,
I don't have
this
negative
right.
view of humankind. I think we all are sinners.
Alan, I think you're right that fundamentalists are not necessarily getting Jesus right on every point. But the four Gospels, 111 times, mention sin, sinning, or sinners. And Jesus said in passing, he said, you people, you being evil, give your kids good gifts. How much more will God give good gifts? So it seems without dispute that Jesus thought people were evil.
I am really not. Although I'm not Christian, my wife is, and I do go to church with her, and I'm pretty familiar with that with some degree of Christianity. I don't believe, at least that's not the message I get from Jesus.
All right.
If you want to go around thinking Jesus thinks we're all evil, that's fine. That's not my view.
But it is a fundamental difference between the right and
the left. I'm not a fundamentalist.
No, but it's a
fundamental. So I don't have that view.
Right, but it is a fundamental difference between the right and the left. Right?
Right. That's not, but my view is that's not who Jesus was. And Jesus who preached love and Jesus who preached forgiveness And Jesus who preached, yeah. When you do for the poor, when you house them, when you clothe them, when you feed them, you do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
That is a liberal message. And I think that the things Jesus taught, in fact, Jesus was beyond liberal in his time, in his day. He was radical.
So
the idea, my whole point of that chapter, mm-hmm. the chapter Jesus was a liberal, which I probably should have called Jesus is a liberal because he's alive in so many people's hearts. But the idea that the Republican Party has embraced him and kind of regard him as an arm of the GOP is ridiculous, and that's really what I'm arguing against in that chapter.
All right, well, maybe I could give you another fundamental and see, like, liberals proclaim the rights of consenting adults, and Jesus condemned adultery.
Liberals are not for adultery. I mean, this idea, again, this is something put forth
yeah.
by conservatives that we somehow condone men and women cheating on each other. That is not at all what liberals stand for, which is, again, why I called the book
yeah.
Red, White, and Liberal. We believe in God, family, and country as much as conservatives have. They've done a much better job convincing the rest of America that they hold those values. Our values are not that different.
This idea
you suggested by your question
yeah.
that liberals somehow condone adultery. There's nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, liberals have fought to decriminalize adultery and to tolerate it.
Well,
and
the idea that we support adultery is ridiculous.
Well,
but the idea that we want government to get into people's bedrooms and prosecute people who commit adultery is also ridiculous.
Government,
it isn't conservatives who say they want less government. Are you suggesting to me that the government should prosecute people based on their personal sexual behavior?
Yeah, for 3,500 years, adultery has been a crime. And if a man cheats on his wife, that's a crime. He's violated a contract. And up until the mid-1900s, it was a crime in America. And today, because liberals have moved to decriminalize adultery, our society widely tolerates it and laughs.
No. It's not liberals who've done that.
We live in
a secular society. We do not live in a theological society. And the idea that the government, which conservatives say they want less of, so I would say conservatives who claim they want less government are just as guilty, if that's the word you might use, as decriminalizing adultery. I don't think we want to live in a society where government prosecutes us based on our consenting adult behavior. That's ridiculous.
Personally, I do. So you're more tolerant.
Well, then you do. Then, you know, that's your choice. Maybe you should go live in one of those societies where that is done. In Thailand, for example, I think you might be able to live in a kind of society that would satisfy you.
Well, Alan, a man has sex with his secretary, brings home a disease to his wife, leaves his children, and that's all a fundamental violation of the contract that he pledged to her when he married her, and now we have a divorce rate of 50% or so.
Yeah, but if you think that enforcing laws against adultery and prosecuting people
for 3,500 years.
You think that's going to cut it down? That's like saying that if we have laws against prostitution, it'll cut down on prostitution.
Let me ask you a question.
As a public policy, it doesn't make any sense.
Let me ask you a question. Was it public policy, or am I completely wrong, for 3,500 years that adultery was criminal and prosecuted?
I don't know where you're talking about. I'm talking about
beginning
America.
With Moses.
You can talk about 3,500 years in ancient society.
All right,
I'm talking about the kind of country we have in the United States of America, democracy.
When did we decriminalize?
A liberal society, and you're talking about ancient times.
Okay, Alan, how about the 13 colonies?
You're talking about, and I think in a society like we have, to get the government involved, that's amazing to me. Conservatives say they want less government.
That doesn't mean we want to legalize crimes and fraud.
You're equating crime and fraud.
Yeah, when you cheat on your wife, when
you want criminalized. Again, you're talking about a very different society than we have in this country. You're talking about a totalitarian regime that would probably want to clamp down on people's personal behavior, and maybe you'd be more comfortable in one of those other countries.
Let me ask you this. When America was founded, our 13 colonies, was adultery a crime?
I honestly don't know.
It was. And when was it decriminalized?
Don't know.
Well, I remember a radio show.
We also had slavery at one time, too.
Yeah, that was evil.
We could talk about all kinds
and
of laws
defending
that
marriage
existed
is good.
In the earlier part of our country.
Right,
and
Alan.
If you want to talk about the way laws were as recent as the 1950s, where blacks couldn't even drink from white drinking fountains.
That was evil.
There were all kinds of things we've evolved as a society into a much more civil society.
Alan, that was evil. But when, Jesus, he liked John the Baptist. In fact, he said he was the greatest person ever born of women. And John the Baptist was arrested for accusing the king of adultery, and eventually he was killed. And Jesus said, those born of women, there's not one greater than John the Baptist. You would have condemned John the Baptist for saying that Clinton should have been faithful to his wife and bringing that into the public discourse.
No, of course not. Well, you're misrepresenting my position.
Well, it's
often as right. conservative. Let me speak here.
Go ahead.
Often conservatives do this to liberals. Conservatives will tell liberals what they think, and liberals don't do a good enough job fighting back.
All right.
My position is not to condone adultery or to say it's okay if a man cheats on his wife.
That is
not my position.
However, it
is also my position, and I think it's the American position, we do not persecute or prosecute people
who cheat
because
on their wives.
Of their personal behavior in that regard. We do not prosecute a consenting adult.
And Alan,
I don't believe that as a public policy that would have the result you desire, which would be to cut down on the divorce rate.
Well, it did for 3,500 years.
Laws against prostitution haven't had that effect.
Alan,
so why would you believe that as a public policy issue that laws against the way a man behaves with his wife is going to have any effect?
Because it did for 3,500 years.
No,
we didn't have a divorce rate.
What effect has it ever had on prostitution?
What effect
do laws on prostitution have on that? None.
Alan, maybe you could talk about prostitution for the remaining 5 minutes we have together. But for 3,500 years, marriage did not suffer the assault that it's under today, with generations of kids growing up without the security of a mom and a dad. And Jesus condemned adultery and called people sinners. And liberals tolerate it. They say people are basically
liberals
good.
Liberals do not tolerate adultery.
They
Again,
don't?
I'm going to correct you every time you make
well,
that
okay,
statement.
Okay, let me.
And I'm going to keep talking until I get my point
okay.
across.
Well, then let me. Okay.
I mean, we do not tolerate or condone adultery.
No, you do
but
tolerate
it. We also don't
it.
Believe as a public policy issue.
Right.
And I don't think most conservatives would want the government in our bedrooms
but
like that.
Alan, you liberals generally don't know that adultery was criminal in America until the mid 1900s.
It's irrelevant to me. Slavery was legal in America. Separate drinking fountains were legal in America.
Right,
the kind of America we are living in now, in this century, is not one where we prosecute people for adultery. If that's what you want to spend our time talking about this, you're going to keep misrepresenting the liberal position, and I'm going to keep telling you that you're misrepresenting it. So I'm going to keep repeating myself if you keep repeating that misrepresentation.
All right. So, let's totally change the topic. Liberal, would you agree a fundamental difference between the right and the left is that liberals don't mind high taxes and the right wing, they're against high taxes?
No, again, you are begging the question. You are telling me what I think, and you're
trying
to tell me what liberals think.
I just asked you.
You are misrepresenting the liberal position, and I really wish the conservatives like you, if you're going to attack liberals, at least understood where liberals were coming from, and if you'd read my book fully, perhaps maybe you would have. Liberals do not support high taxes. Liberals support fiscal responsibility, but you can't keep lowering taxes at a time of war, at a time of a war on terror. We now have a president talking about going to the moon. Mm-hmm. He's talking about all kinds of money and a Medicare bill that if a liberal put it through would be demonized by the right.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
How do you keep lowering taxes when our expenses keep getting higher?
Spending increases faster under Republican presidents than Democratic
Absolutely,
presidents.
We agree on that.
Yeah, and it's been that way for 40, 50 years.
And so, conservatives or Republicans, I should say, are disingenuous when they say they want smaller government because we don't get it from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. It seems to me the fundamental difference between the right and the left is that the right believes in absolutes, absolute truth, and absolute morality, whereas the left tends to reject absolute truth for relativism, and they hate moral clarity. They just hate it.
Again, you are misrepresenting the left, and you continue to do this.
Is that a misrepresentation?
And I hope that there are people in your audience who will call you up and straighten you out, because you keep saying and you keep slandering the left by making these statements that are not accurate representations of how the left thinks.
Okay.
On every issue we have discussed, you have misrepresented my position and misrepresented the position of the left.
Well, correct
me.
To
say that we don't have or don't care for moral clarity, we may have a different view of just what is moral. I think it's immoral. For example, for government to get involved in my personal life. I think that's immoral.
All right.
But to say that we don't favor moral clarity is a gross misrepresentation.
Well, I said this. The right believes in absolute truth and absolute morality, and the left rejects that for relativism. Is that true or no?
It depends how you would define absolute morality and how would you define relativism.
So you can't
I would
say
need a
yes,
more specific
that's true.
Example.
All right. So then you cannot generally say that the
left. No, I'm not going to buy into your setting up generalizations like that about the left and right.
Well, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a specific example. Somebody like Saddam Hussein, the New York Times page one said he's responsible for over 1 million violent deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Over 1 million.
Right.
And the left has such a I believe they hate moral clarity, and so they hate George Bush more than they love the Iraqi people, and
that's ridiculous.
Again, you keep doing this, and every time you do it, I'm going to interject.
You have misstated what the left stands for. You are guilty of distorting the view of the left and distorting certainly my view. There are people who do hate George Bush. There's no question about it. But that is not the mainstream Democratic point of view.
Well, Jimmy,
I disagree with his policies. I don't hate George W. Bush. Most Americans do not hate George W. Bush.
All right.
We may despise his policies, and you guys keep misrepresenting.
All right.
And
well,
I'm going to keep saying this
until you get it right. You keep misrepresenting what the left believes.
To
defend my statement, I'll quote Jimmy Carter in Time magazine, December 8th. He was asked, do you think you can quote any one person you want. Well, you tell me if you think this is representative of liberals, generally, liberal leaders. He was asked, do you think removing Saddam Hussein was the right thing to do? And his answer was, no, not unilaterally. So that he is more tolerant of a mass murderer.
You're interpreting that wrong.
First of all,
I agree with Jimmy Carter. Because I don't believe that unilaterally remove Saddam Hussein.
That's my
point. I also don't believe we should unilaterally remove Assad in Syria or Khamenei in Iran or you name any other leader. I don't think there's any country into which we should go unilaterally and change government.
Because
I don't think that's our role.
Alan,
but to interpret that to mean, and this is important, to interpret that to mean that I therefore favor dictators or Jimmy Carter coddles dictators or we feel that we hate George W. Bush more than we love the Iraqi people because we don't think as a matter of public policy we should go in and preemptively remove governments, again, is a gross misrepresentation of what liberals believe.
So
I accuse you of distorting our point of view.
So what you will
and not what we think.
So what you will tolerate is systematic rape and mass murder.
No, that is not the issue.
You just said it.
The issue
you will
is,
tolerate.
I will frame it my way. You can frame it your way, which you will continue to do. I don't think as a matter of public policy we should be preemptively going after countries. If you want to say that should be our policy, that wherever there's an evil dictator visiting evil deeds upon his people, we must then go into every single country where there is a totalitarian regime.
Now, where we
must go, why don't we go into Red China? Why do we just arbitrarily pick countries to go into and go after certain dictators but not others? What's the reason we go into Iraq but not communist China, where there are just as much, if not more, atrocities against more people?
Because, I can answer your question, because we can do it.
Let me frame it the way you're saying
it. Because
we can do it. Because George W. Bush does not go into communist China and remove that regime, I guess he loves that regime.
If Bush...
use your method of thinking, that's what George W. Bush is doing.
No, not true. Because
because I don't want to go into Iraq and remove that dictator.
If you can
I'm guilty
do it.
Of loving totalitarian regimes, then if George W. Bush doesn't want to go into Red China, he's guilty of loving that regime, if that's the argument you want to use.
Well, you're arguing...
I'm just about out of time, but that's my view. And
Alan,
I think it's important that my view be represented accurately.
Alan, your view was just if you don't do good everywhere always, then you have no right to do good in one place.
My view is that I don't think we should arbitrarily picking countries to go in and take over. I think that
and
is
it's
bad
in our
public
self,
policy.
It's in our self-interest, and we were able to do it, and it was good and right.
I don't agree that
it's in our self-interest. All right. Alan Combs, thank you. The author of Red, White, and Liberal, How Left is Right and Right is Wrong. We appreciate it, Alan.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, goodbye. All right. Now, that was he gave a robust defense for his view. And he was a guest, and so, of course, whereas normally with a caller, I could try to control the conversation more. Because he's a guest and well-known, I'm not able to just put him on hold. And his time is valuable to him. And so it was hard with his run-on answers, but we gave it a shot. We gave it a shot. What I'd like to do is talk through... basically do a debrief and talk through what just happened. And let's see how that goes. Let's see here. So we discussed his chapter, Jesus Was a Liberal. And his basic defense of that chapter, the first issue I brought up was Jesus, liberals say people are basically good, and Jesus said they're basically sinners. And his defense of that was, well, I don't know what the Bible says. I'm not a theologian. And I pointed out to him that 111 times in the four Gospels, it talks about sin, sinners, sinning. And Jesus said, you are evil. And of course, his whole message was delivering people from sin. And so, and Alan pointed out that in his church, he gets, his wife goes to church. He's not a Christian. He goes with her and he gets this feel good that Jesus taught love, love, love. All you need is like the Beatles. Jesus and the Beatles sort of similar. The Beatles sang all you need is love. And then they broke up. Right? And so, and Jesus, he spoke of love, but in the context of justice and condemnation, and was reasonably harsh against those who rejected truth, rejected morality, rejected sexual morality, and defended or tolerated immorality. I think one thing of interest that came up was that, and something we've contended for 12 years here on Bob and Your Live, that liberals have not a good concept of history. And for example, Alan Combs admitted he had no idea that he didn't know that adultery was against the law in our country. And for what? From when the first colonies were being settled in the 1600s through to the War of Independence and the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution in 1789 and the 13 colonies. Adultery was illegal. It was against the law. And whenever I would point out, I tried to point out that where liberals say, liberals proclaim the rights of consenting adults, and Alan used that phrase a couple times, whereas Jesus condemned adultery. And adulterers are going to hell. Whereas liberals say you have the right to commit adultery. And Alan clearly said he was against the government trying to enforce a contract between a man and a wife. See, when he to be consistent, he should have said the government has no place prosecuting a man who violates his contract with his wife. That's what he should have said. But he said instead he'd put it into a euphemism and say the government has no place looking at your private affairs, your private business. Well, when a man and a woman get married, they enter into a covenant, which is a contract, an agreement, the marriage contract, the marriage covenant. And a man cheats on his wife, the government, that's one of the few things the government should do. And we had 3,500 years where under Judeo-Christian law, when adultery was against the law, divorce was not epidemic. And you didn't have generations of kids growing up without a mom and a dad, which is a fundamental human right, that the government would enforce the sanctity of marriage so that men who violated their contract, if you violate a contract, that's one of the areas that the government should be involved in. And the men that violate their contract with their wives, those men should be prosecuted. But of course, obviously we're coming from two very different positions. But then, to bring a caller and author up to speed, that adultery was illegal? What? When? Where? How? I never heard of that. NUR, that's the call in line, also the order line. You can order materials from us here at Bob and Yurt Live. Now, Christmas is so close, you have to hurry up if you want to get something for Christmas. But, you know, we're thinking of putting together a couple packs, like a salvation pack and a growth pack, because we have so many neat materials for getting people saved. For example, we've got these videos, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, that decimates evolution and shows there has to be a creator, and The Real Mount Sinai, that shows that the Bible, the ancient history of the Bible, and even the miracles are credible. There's evidence for them. Mount St. Helens, you know, the volcano that blew in 1980, showing that the earth, that river systems, canyon systems, and rivers don't need millions of years to evolve. They can occur overnight. And then Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. And so we could put those four videos together. Oh, and probably the debate, does God exist? See, we're just talking through this, having a salvation pack of five titles. And then if there's somebody you're interested in, if they're willing to consider, to read, to watch, imagine an unbeliever watching those four videos and reading the debate, does God exist? That is a powerful, powerful message. And so even though we don't have a salvation pack per se on our web store yet, you can do it yourself. And you could call up 1-800-8-NYART or go online to kgov.com, our website, the Bob and Yart Live's home on the internet, and go to our store. And just these five titles, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, Mount St. Helens, The Real Mount Sinai, Mount Moriah, and The Debate, Does God Exist? That'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. Bob and Yart versus Acuff. You could watch them, learn from them, enjoy them, and then pass them on to the unbeliever of your choice. Now, we don't want to be silly saying salvation guaranteed or your money back, but we better get back to the show. We'll be right back. Bob and Yart Live, brought to you by God, maker of heaven and earth and other fine products. Here we are, Bob and Yart Live. So I'm talking through, we're doing a debrief of the discussion we just had with Alan Combs. And so, and the one point that he rather moved away from more quickly was that Jesus and the right believes in sexual morality and that it should be upheld, and liberals are generally tolerant of sexual morality, so much so that even a leader and an author, and probably the only liberal who's on Coast to Coast on talk radio, Alan Combs, doesn't know that adultery was a crime. And that decriminalizing adultery has led to a 50% divorce rate and millions of kids growing up without a mom and a dad. All right, so that was one issue. Then let's see, what else did we look at? Liberals say that, let's see here, this thing about truth and absolutes, that the right believes in absolutes, absolute truth and absolute morality, and the left rejects absolute truth for relativism. He would not agree with that. Now, he wouldn't agree with that on this in this interview right now, but I think, and that's the way of liberals. Like, for example, I was on Alan Combs' show, when was that? 3 weeks ago? It was supposed to be for a 15-minute segment. How long did it last? An hour. It was the whole show. Yeah. And while I was on Alan Combs' radio show, if he would have said to me, Bob, is it true that while the left believes in relativism, the right tends to believe in absolute truth and absolute morality? I would have said, yes, Alan. Yes. That's one of the fundamental differences between the right and the left. That's why the right says that people are basically evil and the left says that they're not. Because there's no such thing as absolute morality and absolute truth. And they are uncomfortable with the statement that people are basically sinners. They don't like that. They don't like that. And so Alan, when I gave to him Jimmy Carter's quote, that, do you think it was right removing Saddam Hussein from power? Jimmy Carter said no, not unilaterally. And my point was that liberals are willing to tolerate mass murderers because they despise moral clarity, and right now they hate George Bush more than they love the Iraqi people. And so Alan Combs agreed that, well, he thinks it was wrong to get rid of Saddam Hussein also. Now, the point that I think could stand if we had a, you know, more opportunity to fight it out, the point is that Alan Combs, he should have been able to admit that he was willing to tolerate Saddam Hussein as a mass murderer rather than have America act alone to stop him. He should be able to say that. I, Alan Combs, am willing to tolerate a mass murderer like Saddam Hussein rather than have America stop him. And America, more than any nation in the world, is a Christian nation. Not that we've rejected Jesus Christ in our public policy and our culture, but we're Christian. So that when the left, when the Soviet Union was marching into country after country in Europe and Asia and supporting violent overthrows of freedom and freedom of speech and freedom of travel and freedom of religion, the left was largely silent. They didn't mind all that much. They were tolerant of it. And the thing that the left really hated, they hated a Christian, whether it was, or a conservative, whether it was Senator Joseph McCarthy or the John Birch Society or whoever, that stood up and said, communism is evil. The communists are evil. They're murderers. They're stealing people's property. They're taking away their right of free speech, their right of travel and religion. And the left was tolerant of those who murdered by the millions, and they had a passionate hatred for those who stood up and said the Soviet Union is evil. When Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire, they lambasted him, just lambasted him. And so they didn't have to work up a passion against Ronald Reagan for condemning the Soviet Union, but they themselves had no passion to condemn the Soviet Union, even though it murdered 20 million of its own people. And the same thing with the communists in China. So in defense of his tolerance of Saddam Hussein, he brought up communism in China. And I wanted to give him a rebuttal, but he wouldn't stop talking long enough. And that was that America, and I did say this, but it was brief, that America can do right, and we can do it where we can do it and where it's in our interest to do it. And so for America to go to war against communist China, if George W. Bush was able to free a billion Chinese and give them freedom of religion, freedom of speech, that would be wonderful. I'm sure Alan Combs would be against it. I'm sure Alan Combs would be against us unilaterally freeing a billion people, and he would tolerate a tyranny, a murdering tyranny of communist Chinese, the government there, keeping over a billion people enslaved. I'm sure he would tolerate that. And if George Bush or any leader had the ability to free a billion Chinese or to free the North Koreans without risking the destruction of, say, an American city with a nuclear weapon, then that'd be fabulous. That would be tremendous. That would be great. I'd volunteer. Let's go. Let's go fight. That's easy for me to say because I'm too old and 20 pounds overweight. Well, Pop said more than 20. All right. So his argument was that if you don't do it everywhere, then you have no right to do it here. And that, of course, is ignorant. That was the principle that he used. That was his principle. As though the police have no right to catch a murderer if they don't catch every murderer. As though the police have no right to investigate one murder in their town if they don't also investigate every murder everywhere. That's ridiculous. Of course, it's ridiculous. And so if we don't free a billion Chinese, the Chinese, we have nuclear weapons. We have thousands. They have 20 or 30, whatever the number is now. But if we don't free a billion Chinese, we have no right to free 40 million Afghans and Iraqis from murdering tyrant governments. And he was trying to, although he didn't quite get it out of his mouth, he was trying to compare my view that adultery should be recriminalized to the Taliban in Afghanistan and say, you want to live in that kind of country? You want to go? And he couldn't say move to Afghanistan because thanks to America's moral clarity, as far as it goes, the Taliban government is no longer in force. So he could have, if it was 3 years ago, he could have said, well, why don't you move to the Taliban? Move in Afghanistan, go to Kabul, where they cover a woman from head to toe. I'd say, yeah, that's extremist behavior. That's wrong. Just like stripping a woman naked and putting cameras all around her, that's wrong too. So the Taliban, what the Taliban does by law is that men cover a woman from head to toe. And what the liberals do by law is that men put cameras around naked women. So those are the two extremes. Those are both wrong. What Christianity does is say that there's such a thing as absolute morality, and it's wrong to sexualize our public lives. Sex is within marriage only. That's it. It shouldn't be in kids' movies like The Cat in the Hat with sexual arousal jokes about these kids' mother, and the same thing in Steven Spielberg's movie E.T., The Extraterrestrial, where in front of kids they sexualize the kid's mother in a kid show. Sick. Liberals are just... So where in Afghanistan, the Taliban used the law to cover women from head to toe. In America, liberals use the law to take naked women and video them. And worse, of course. And so that's the comparison. All right, let's continue here. So, and then I pointed out that Jesus liked John the Baptist. Remember that quote from Luke chapter 3? And that John had rebuked the king for adultery? We'll be right back. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's the call-in line, the order line, 1-800-8-ENYART. And you could go online at kgov.com. And we're just talking earlier in the last break about if you have somebody that you want to bring to the Lord, you want to get saved. And of our materials, what do we have that would most help that? And generally speaking, we've got these videos, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, Mount St. Helens, The Real Mount Sinai, and Mount Moriah. Isn't it funny that three of them have to do with mountains? Well, the law was given at Mount Sinai, and grace came at Mount Moriah, where Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. And God did that on purpose, by the way. And so... Unlocking the Mysteries of Life is against evolution, showing we need a creator. Then Mount St. Helens disputes that the Earth has to be billions of years old and shows that canyon systems can form overnight, not over millions of years. And the real Mount Sinai, that the Bible, even its ancient history and miracles, there's extraordinary evidence to support the Bible. And then Mount Moriah, the video we produced on the history and geography that provide evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So those four videos, and then the debate, does God exist? Bob Enyart versus Zaketh, Battle Royale 7, 170-page debate. Now, that's literature. So we are recommending four videos and one manuscript for helping to bring someone to the place where they would consider Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's pretty neat. I like that, that salvation kit, salvation pack. All right, you got a teenager? You say, well, do me a favor, watch these. All right, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART. So Alan Combs would not admit that liberals supported a general basic difference between conservatives and liberals is that liberals believed in high taxes and conservatives believed in low taxes. He wouldn't agree with that because he said, oh, no. He said, oh, no, it's just it depends on what you're spending the money on. Well, no kidding. That's so obvious. Is it really necessary to point it out? Obviously, he doesn't want high taxes used to fund America's wars, unilateral wars. That's obvious. But I could admit, well, it's easy for me to admit because I'm not a fan of the Republican Party, but I could admit that spending increases faster under Republican presidents than Democrats. And he said, well, yeah, there's one thing we agree on. Yeah. But he couldn't admit that liberals support high taxes as compared to conservatives who advocate low taxes as a general difference. So I find it interesting that so many of the things that differentiate conservatives and liberals, Alan would not admit to them. He would not admit to them. And that's why at the beginning of the interview, I sort of thought that he might take answer my question differently when I asked him about defending liberalism. Because on other interviews, when he's right off the bat, when he's described as a liberal, he's rejected that and said, well, really a secularist. And so I thought, well, if he does that, that'll be interesting because then he has a chapter titled Jesus Was a Secularist. Well, it's really titled Jesus Was a Liberal. But he didn't go that route. And so at any rate, all right, let's see. So and he says that liberalism is a four-letter word, and it seems to me that liberals generally don't admit what they really believe. That in a nutshell. That in public, when they're amongst themselves, they do. That they'll say, yeah, the right thinks people are basically evil, and we know people are basically good. And we don't believe in right and wrong, absolute truth. We believe in relativism. And, of course, they hate moral clarity. But they would say, oh, no, we approve of moral clarity. But what they mean by that is the moral clarity that they approve of is saying that it's now legal to cheat on your wife. That's the moral clarity that they approve of. In each case, the moral clarity they approve of is the moral clarity that tolerates wickedness and decriminalizes perversion, filth, crime. That's the moral clarity that they approve of. Like the moral clarity that says we would rather tolerate a mass murderer in Iraq than have America stop him unilaterally. And of course, by far the greatest force, but we didn't do it unilaterally. There were dozens of countries involved in some ways, Britain most significantly, troops from, what, a dozen countries or 20 countries are there now. More than, I don't have the exact number. All right, and then, the condemnation of Bill Clinton. and John the for his sexual morality. And his point is, we liberals don't defend that. We don't tolerate it. You do tolerate it. You say it should be legal. So you do tolerate it. And you think he shouldn't be judged for it. He shouldn't. He should still be the leader of our country, being an adulterer and cheating, violating his contract with his wife, and that should be private, that the government has no say in that. Well, Bill Clinton also, not only did he cheat on his wife, but he gave government jobs to the women he had sex with. And so that's like prostitution, paying the women for sex with tax dollars. That's what that is. And in his book, Alan Combs has a chapter on why Bill Clinton was the greatest president. So that's probably why Bill Clinton has a quote on the dust jacket of the book saying what a great person Alan Combs is. You wash my back, I'll wash yours. So, and for if John the Baptist were here today, and so everybody wants to claim Jesus as though Jesus was on their side. And so if John the Baptist was here today rebuking Clinton for committing adultery, and as John said in Luke chapter 3, for all the evils which Clinton had done, Alan Combs would condemn him as a fanatic. It's his personal life. It's his private life. And no, of course the government shouldn't have anything, should have no say in protecting a woman in the contract that her husband has made with her. Well, why not? Especially, you know, liberals, the way they get to that point is they say the government should have nothing to do with religion. And so they somehow argue that marriage is really religious, and therefore the government should have no say in it. Okay, so if they don't believe in God, as many of their leaders don't, and they don't think the government should enforce religion, and they think even homosexuals should get married, many of them, like Chris Matthews on PMSNBC. Well, then, okay, so then how do we process that? So marriage is just, it's not a religious thing that the government recognizes. It's just a contract. It's not religious. There's no sanctity to marriage. It's just a contract where a man and a woman pledge themselves to be faithful to one another and excluding all others. So if it's just a secular contract, as liberals would have you believe, well, then why shouldn't the government enforce it? That's the government's job, to enforce contracts. That's part of its criminal justice work. Because if somebody hires you and says, I'll pay you $10 an hour to cut grass, I do lawns, landscaping, and so you work for him for 40 hours for a week, and it comes time to pay, for him to pay you $400, and he says, I'm not going to pay you. I don't like you. I don't like the way you worked. Well, then that's violating a contract, and then you go, you don't take a hammer and go dent his car or beat him up. You go to the courts, and you get the courts to enforce the contract because he had committed fraud in violating the contract. So it's really the way of atheist in general, because atheists, they say that there's no God. And if there's no God, then religion is just like any other topic that is false, right? Like if people believe in UFOs or reincarnation or whatever. But yet atheists who believe that religion is therefore just another philosophy that's wrong, they should have the same view of religion as they do of other philosophies that are wrong. So can schools not teach Aristotle or Plato or John Locke or what? What philosophers should schools be prohibited from teaching? Or UFOs? They can't have any course that advocates the existence of UFOs in public universities? So atheists generally are hypocrites when they say religion is just a false philosophy, and yet we should treat it differently from all other false philosophies. And the same thing with Alan Combs in marriage. Oh, the government's not supposed to enforce religion. All right, well, then marriage is just secular, then it's just a contract. So why can't the government enforce the contract of marriage? When a man says to a wife, to a woman, I will be exclusively true to you for the rest of my life, and then he cheats on her with his secretary. So then that should come into the divorce proceedings, which generally it doesn't. We have no-fault divorce. Isn't that brilliant? So the guy who cheats on his wife and breaks up his family, that can't be used against him in the divorce proceedings, or the woman. Or the woman. So we never got around to, I would have loved to quote Jesus when he said that he is the light of the world. And in John 3, he said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. He who does not believe is condemned, Jesus said, because he has not believed in the Son of God. That's pretty cool. And Jesus said that the multitudes were hypocrites. He called the multitudes hypocrites. Who else? The Herodians he called hypocrites. Now, what's a hypocrite? Is somebody who says one thing and does another. That's like liberals, they don't admit to what they really believe. They want to have it both ways. Hypocrites. So Jesus said the Herodians were hypocrites. Who's a Herodian? A Herodian was a political party, people who supported King Herod, just like Clinton supporters, just like Alan Combs, who says, I don't tolerate adultery, yet the man who violated the contract with his wife and brought all of public discourse in America to an all-time filthy low was the greatest president who ever lived, according to a chapter in Alan Combs' book. Well, according to the chapter title, and the chapter itself, he equivocates a bit. You know, Jesus called men and women fools. Fools. In Alan's book, he defended O.J. Simpson. While we're the ones here at Bob in Your Life who bought O.J.'s memorabilia at auction and burned his Hall of Fame award in jerseys on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. And Alan would disapprove of that, but that's moral clarity. Here is a murderer who killed his estranged wife and her, you know, boyfriend. And he should be condemned and convicted. We brought protests to 150 cities accusing Bill Clinton of raping Juanita Broderick. You could hear the interview with the nurse on KGov.com. We did a two-hour exclusive, worldwide exclusive interview with nurse Norma McCorvey, who found Juanita crying in the very bed that Bill Clinton had raped her in a hotel in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so we took that protest to 150 cities. The Wall Street Journal wrote that this rape, quote, was an event that in fact took place, that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick, a campaign supporter in Arkansas. And Alan Combs says Bill Clinton was the greatest president who ever lived. Now, Bob in Your Life, we have moral clarity, and we say he's a rapist. Hey, we're out of time. Till tomorrow night, this is Bob in Your Life reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.